Still morning, so good morning. And just a bit of an apology at the beginning. We're the reserve team from the ACT. The Clint Cody, whose name is on the program, he was the manager of this project. He was unable to attend, and so we're attending now. We can talk a lot about the project, but if you ask a question and we sort of obfuscate, and you'll know why. If you're unfamiliar with the AGQTP, it stands for the Australian Government Quality Teaching Program, and it's an initiative that has run for 4 or 5 years that is coming towards an end, where you would do innovative, or you would attempt to do innovative projects in schools. And each year there was a different curriculum focus. This year was ICT. In previous years it was history, maths, English, and so on. And the aims of our projects were basically those there on the screen. And, you know, what the process is you open up to schools who wish to be involved, and we have a maximum of 15 schools that we can cater for. Now, we had, 15 schools and 35 teachers involved. The way it was presented to them, they could be involved in LAMS, which was completely new to them. They had never seen it before. They could be involved in an interactive whiteboard project, or they could be involved in a Scoodle project, which is accessing rich digital content for their classroom. And 12 of the teachers, so about a third, chose to be involved in LAMS, and you'll see they're the curriculum areas that they covered. Now I'll hand over to my colleague Jacqueline, who will talk a little bit about how the teachers felt about what was going on.
Thanks, Peter. As part of the project, I was actually one of the trainers that assisted in implementing LAMS and showing teachers basically how to begin a LAMS sequence. So what I've done is I've picked actually 4 sequences from the people who participated in the AGQTP program. As you can see, the 4 ones that I've picked are actually from people from different KLAs. So some of them were English teachers, some were numeracy teachers, and we actually had some visual art teachers as well who were creating LAMS sequences. Most of them were from the high school college sectors. We did have 2 from primary, and they were doing some really innovative, interesting things with LAMS. This is just one of the sequences that you can see to do with narrative writing. This is for secondary school, so high school. One of the things you'll note as you look at these is that you can really see how teachers were starting to look in regards to design for pedagogy. And one of the things that we found was that because at the moment LAMS is very linear in structure, you'll notice how some teachers actually, when they're designing their sequences, design them in a circular fashion. Some actually design them, as you can see, going from start to finish across. A few teachers actually started experimenting with different gates, so the stop gates. Some actually experimented with time gates. Some did some with conditional gates, so that if a student got to a gate and in the previous activity they hadn't actually put in certain terms, they actually had to restart again. So what they were trying to do was actually take it from a linear to more of a circular pedagogy practice. And we spoke to James about this, and that's something that they are actually looking at, is how they can change it from being a linear sort of sequence to actually one that's circular. So this is one example, and you can see there's 2 stop gates in that. As you can see, the next one is actually more circular in design. Very interesting to see how people view and where they start. I'm very much a linear person, I like to go across, but some people had different design views as well. One of the things that a lot of the secondary teachers really found important was the submitting files. So they're actually having their students submit their work. Currently we're using My Classes, and part of that has an actual, that's our learning management system, and part of that has an actual submit files within it. It is quite cumbersome, and so the teachers actually found that the submit files through LAMS was actually a lot more easy, especially because you can get the students to email you, so you actually get a message sent to your email when students have submitted their files. You can see there's a task list in there, etc., as students progress through it. All of these LAMB sequences were actually tried out by the students. Some of them were then redeveloped, etc. This is one that was particularly interesting. This was actually a Year 7 Water Watch program that some teachers were doing. So what the students actually had to do was they were going out into the field and taking water samples, and then using LAMBs, they were actually implementing their data. So they went out onto the field, and so using LAMBs, they actually had to talk about what sort of things they were looking for in their water quality examination, and that was through their notebook. Using the GMAP, they actually had to plot on the Google Map where they actually got their water samples from. So the students were able to go out looking in their local area and take water samples, and using Google Maps, plot where their sample was from. They actually did offline testing of those water samples, so looking at salinity, etc., pH, etc., of the water. And then using the spreadsheet in LAMBs, they actually had to document their results. And then from that, they then did their survey. It was a really...
Were they using handheld technologies when they went out to the...
They were using data loggers. A lot of them were using data loggers. They did actually have some... I think they were using iPhones for some of it as well. They did have limited technology, but they did actually take the data loggers out, and then they were doing this actually back at school to actually implement their data. The last sequence I'm going to show you is one that's using the branching. So as you can see, this one here is actually goes through similar sort of thing, chat, forum, and you can see there's just two simple branching. The branching is actually relating to the multiple choice activity. So depending on what they actually picked in the multiple choice, that then sent them through the branching. This is one that's still in development. Some of the teachers are still adding a few things onto this as well. Do you want to add anything to that, please?
Just the thing that I found interesting is, again, that was a small-scale project and it was people's first go, but this one here, which has probably got the most extensive use of the collaborative tools, you know, chat and forum, was an ICT technical skills class, whereas the humanities task, you know, didn't. Some people just wanted to use it to manage class data, so they, I don't think anyone really, perhaps except for the first one, expected to use the LAMB sequence to teach the class. They expected to use it for a small element within their, you know, larger class program, but I don't think anyone wanted to use it or expected that it would be used completely.
It was interesting, some of the teachers actually took what they were currently doing and just simply rehashed it in LAMBs. One teacher actually took their entire unit of work and recreated in LAMBs, where others actually looked beyond that and thought, how can I take what I'm currently doing and make it more effective in LAMBs? So it was very interesting how people actually approached using LAMB sequences. We did a survey of teachers after they had used LAMBs, and this is some of the teacher reflections that came about. All the teachers that were currently were in our program found that it was a really easy way of introducing new concepts to their students. They all liked that step-by-step sequence. Some of them felt that it was limiting having that linear form. They did want to be able to do more circular. And they found that it maintained their student focus, and it meant the students had to read and understand what they were doing before they could go on to the next task. They really liked the fact that by putting the stop gates in, you really limited students from just jumping from task to task without actually getting that in-depth understanding and knowledge, which is really important. One of the things they also found was that students seemed to complete more work in LAMBs than if they were doing it just in a regular system or discrete tasks in the classroom. So they're finding that, especially in forums and chats, their actual conversations were more in-depth, thinking that this is high school and college. They're actually writing a lot more, mainly... They found that students that didn't talk a lot in class were actually talking more within the chats and forums because they didn't have to discuss things face-to-face. And the last thing they found was that being able to share their LAMB sequences between staff and actually between faculties meant that they could work on each other's and they could take someone's sort of planning template and reuse it as well and repurpose it. So they found that that was really useful, being able to modify and change to suit their needs.
And I suppose just on that, the activity planner, which I believe will be launched at this conference, if we had had that, we're probably going to go back and tell people that it exists now and get bashed up. Why did you make us do this without it? We did it in two cohorts. The second cohort was obviously much more adept at picking it up because they could see what the first cohort had done. And that's the value of the planner. So just the last little bit. When we do any project, we like to have outcomes other than, and a good time was had by all. So we try and link it always back to our pedagogical model, which in the ACT we use the quality teaching framework, which is based on the work of Gore and Ladwick, and if you take it back to its beginnings, Newman from Chicago. Basically, what it says is that what defines high quality teaching is all high quality teaching will have a large degree of intellectual quality. It will be significant or relevant to the students, and it will take place in a quality learning environment. So the other way to look at it is, if any of your technology interventions isn't either increasing the intellectual quality of your classroom, if it isn't making your lessons more relevant, and if it isn't helping with your classroom environment, then what are you doing? We've noticed often that it's easier to use technology poorly than it is to use it well. So this is what we use to assess whether we've actually done a good thing or not. And going through those dimensions, using a LAMB sequence, teachers found it a lot easier to strategically present the concepts and content that they were trying to deliver to students. And they were able to sustain a focus on what was important rather than, just shallowly touching a range of things in a very shallow fashion. We often encourage people to teach via dilemmas, especially at the senior secondary level. And so most of the LAMB sequences were exploring dilemmas. And the way they had presented the LAMB sequences, those that used branching, you present them some content, should we have genetically modified crops or should we not, and some content on either sides of the argument, and then they need to vote, where do they stand on the position, and if they vote that they're for or against, then that will branch, and then they'll be presented with the other side's view that they then have to respond to. And in that way you can really structure problematic knowledge, and sometimes that was done in a Q&A as well. And so you start getting these substantive conversations going between the class over the issues. So we found LAMBs very helpful in improving the intellectual quality of the lessons. There was a lot of rich content that people were including in LAMBs. It was very easy to start importing YouTube videos, and there was Google Maps, and some people put in the online tutorials for the ICT skills.
We had some people experimenting with widgets as well and HTML markup code. So people were actually really experimenting with quite sort of unusual things.
And there was a few of the sequences where students were encouraged to go around with their phones and take photographs of whatever they were meant to be taking photographs of, and then upload that into the LAMB sequence. And so, a lot of the rich content was developed and provided by the students. One of the other elements of making things relevant is tying in background knowledge and getting students to, situate their learning in what they already know and connect it to what they already know. And the discussion forums, you had to ask the right questions, but the discussion forums were a very successful way of finding out what students already thought of an issue, prior to starting the sequence. In terms of the quality learning environment, which is a little bit, when you unpack quality teaching, it's a little bit behaviour management, and it's a little bit differentiation, suiting everyone's individual learning styles. Teachers noted that there was a lot more on-task behaviour with the LAMB sequence, and they were comparing that to our other e-learning sort of strategy, which is via My Classes, which is a a rudimentary LMS that thankfully we're getting rid of. But, you know, in my classes, what you would do is you would put up a Word document, or you would, you know, just type in text instructions, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, and then hyperlink to a range of content. And, you know, there was no requirement to do any of it, really. The other thing that they was good with LAMS was that students could progress through it at their own pace. There was a lot of people who for whatever reason, couldn't get around to doing it at school, but were happy to do it at home. And there were a number of people that started experimenting with optional activities as well. Again, giving students some choice to suit the activity to their preferred learning style. So, in a nutshell, that's what we found with our LAMS experience. Where to for us? We are, I suppose, like everyone in the world, the digital education revolution is changing everything, and we are moving to one network for the entire system. At the moment, every school has their network, and so, but we're going to move to one. And so, in terms of user management, we had, you know, one of the colleagues who worked with us manage all the users, which was manageable with, you know, the numbers that we were working with. But when we're looking at, you know, 40, 50,000 users that need managed, we need to, you know, just when they authenticate into our networks, it all automatically needs to authenticate them through to LAMS. And we're working with James to develop that at the moment. But I suppose until that comes about, we will only be doing little dicky pilots, you know, wanting to do the real thing, you know, as soon as we can. So thank you very much. Are there any questions?
As part of the project, they actually came into our Centre for Teaching and Learning and worked with us. As I said, a lot of them were actually taking things they already had and recreating them in LAMS. And part of the project was they had to come in pairs, so there was two people from the school, so that they could actually work with their partner to develop it. There was a fair bit of time investment to begin with initially, but as they progressed and they created more LAMS sequences, they found it was a lot more easier. But yes, there was some initial time that had to be invested on their behalf.
And remember, they had chosen to be in LAMS. The way our approach to interactive whiteboards is very much at the micro-teaching level. The point of an interactive whiteboard is not to deliver a unit of work, it's to teach a specific content, a piece of concept in maybe a 5-10 minute period. And so it's easier to manage your workload around interactive whiteboards, where LAMS, I suppose, our original thinking was you might do 2 weeks' worth of work. And so, you know, some of the feedback was, should we expand this to the wider world, we're going to really have to think carefully about what professional development structures we put in place.
And what about a sharing community for your sequences? I mean, when you talk about a systematic solution, will you have a community that's closed to just your community, or are you going to be...
We would.
Is that discussion happening?
Like all things, the problem with that is copyright. You know, when you go and you take an image off the internet and put it in your LAMS sequence, the only time you break the law is then when you publish it beyond your class. So if you're going to use it in your class, you're fine. When you use it beyond your class, then you have issues, and everyone's struggling with that. The templates, the project planner is really, in one respect, how you share good practice, because that's the other thing that we do. We share, but we hate people to just use other people's work. We want them to repurpose it, and that's what the planner's good for.
I think that's sort of where we're going to head down the track.
Mm-hmm. Was there much collaboration between teachers, or were they working on their...
No, huge
you know,
amount of collaboration.
Different schools?
They were all within the same room when we were actually doing the first initial training, and there was a lot of sharing and collaboration, working together, especially in regards to high schools. We actually even had teachers go and visit other teachers and work with them that way, and we always provided support.
The way we run our days is like, and I think in this project there were 6 days.
6 days.
The first third of the day is them just talking to each other. is talking to each other about whatever, and then the middle third is we'll give them some content or something to think about, something new, and then the last third is just hands-on. They start developing that into something practical. So at least a third of the day is them talking to each other about what they've done.
And do you have mechanisms to sustain that collaboration? Is that right?
Canberra is small. And so because it's small, everyone knows everyone. It's a single email system. It's not hard. Well, it's not our biggest problem.
To the point where the people who participated in cohort one, which was at the beginning of the year, were still visiting and we're still doing things with them and they're still using LAMP. So, we're lucky in that way. Our jurisdiction is so small that we do have those relationships.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.